Welcome to the Wrestling Philosophy Show, where we discuss unique perspectives and beliefs on the sport of wrestling. Give us a follow or subscribe on various social media platforms, including YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Enjoy the show.
We stopped by to see Smitty a few weeks back, and he has plenty of inventory of corner rugs. Be sure to reach out to Smitty at smitty43952@gmail.com to get your corner rugs for this season. Show 69 with TJ Blanton. TJ is a childhood family friend of mine. I've always wanted to hear his story of being a three-sport athlete. I promised he'd be the first in-studio guest I'd have on. So here it is, show 69 with TJ Blanton.
All right, here tonight we welcome TJ Blanton. TJ was a three-sport All-Ohio athlete for Sandusky St. Mary's. He was football player of the year for Division VI. His junior and senior year, he was All-Ohio in baseball, and then he was third in the state as a senior in wrestling. So multi-time All-Ohio in baseball, player of the year football. I've been wanting to have him on. We've been talking about we were supposed to get back in June, right?
Been a while, yeah.
We've been planning this. I promise I told you you're going to be my first in-studio guest. You know, we grew up together here in Sandusky. I was closer to your brother's age. And you're, you know, friends more close to my brother Corey's age. But I've been wanting to get you on. You know, I told you first time I'd have an in-studio guest, you'd be the guy. And I've always wanted to hear your story, more details on your story, because I've always been super impressed. I don't know how many there are, but there can't be that many that in the sports we talk about, three-time or three-sport All-Ohio athlete. So I want to hear that, your story with that, being a double recruit, right, for football, you mentioned, and baseball. Went on to play at BG, right? And, you know, pretty darn close to being, from what I remember, to being drafted, right? There's a chance. I mean, there was talks of, right? We had some injuries going on, but without the injury, it sounds like it would have happened. So anyways, you know, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. First person live. Yeah. In studio.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet here.
Yeah, you've
make
seen
sure I keep my hands down. No, we've been talking about this for a while, and my God, people are probably going to watch this and be like, who is this guy? Like, but, you know, like Jared said, played a couple of different sports. Wrestling was one of them. I think wrestling kind of, you know, wrestling paved my path for everything else I did. And I tell that to everybody, you know, without wrestling, I would have not been who I was athletically in any other sports. Just, you know, the mental toughness of wrestling, the hard work you have to put in and everything that goes with wrestling, and people listening, you know, they all know about, you know, what it takes to wrestle. And, you know, that kind of paved my way in every sport that I played. So, you know, I have no problem sharing my story on wrestling with anybody. I'll talk to people about wrestling all the time till I'm blue in the face, and half the time they have to tell me shut up. And, you know, but, you know, I'm not the big Logan Stieber. You know, I watched the one with Logan Stieber on here. It's like, yeah, now I get to do the first in-studio one. So, you know, it was pretty cool, though. You know, watching Logan, I tell everyone I know that guy when I watched him, you know, on TV and ESPN. And I was in college, and like, if people are like, Roeville, that's really close to you. I'm like, yeah, no, I know him. He probably has no clue who I was a little bit older than him. But, you know, watching him grow up and the David Taylors and the Palmers and, you know, all the good wrestlers that came through in my era. And then, you know, growing up, I watched you guys wrestle. I already rattled off all your stats. You know, Jared was 11-4 in high school.
You know my stats better than I do and who I wrestle.
I'm a baseball guy, so I know statistics. You know, that's one of my things. That's my MO is statistics. So, but yeah, so excited to be here. Talk a little bit.
So for those that you know you, right? Yeah. Scotty, right? Your dad was my junior high coach. Was he your junior high coach or not? Was
he done by that? Kind of
was there, right?
He was there till I could beat him. Then he stopped.
Yeah. I seen Jeff beat him once too. So, baseball guy, right? You mentioned you're a baseball guy. At what point kind of did you kind of figure out baseball your thing? Obviously football, right? Player of the year. So you mentioned you were getting recruited big time. So I guess walk us through that, like, you know, deciding between baseball and football, like how'd that work?
So my, and you know, growing up, by the probably my sophomore year, I really wanted to play football in college. I was kind of a receiver slash quarterback throughout. Played a lot of quarterback. My senior year, I was a quarterback. That's what position I ended up all Ohio in. And I had a good 6'2", about 195 my senior year at quarterback. So I had good size, and I had a good arm. Just thought football, growing up was my first love. And who doesn't want to play football? If you play football, it's, one of the fun sports. We'll talk right. about wrestling. You have fun with it, but, everyone talk about it. It was funny when Logan Sieber was on, I watched his, and he talked about how he was, sick to his stomach. And you've even said it, before a match, you're just sick to your stomach. You all that pressure of, I can't go out and lose this match, and everybody's watching me, and, I have these expectations because – for you were a 4-time state champ. For him, 4-time state champ, 4-time national champ. So, that pressure, which that leads into something different. But really when I figured out baseball was my thing, I was a junior year. I was on the Legion team in Sandusky. We had 10 guys on that team go Division I.
Holy crap.
So we were all from the same area code. One of them still plays. He just got traded to the Oakland Athletics. Three of our pitchers were all drafted on that team, and we all kind of went MAC schools, and, a couple went to Kent, a couple of BGs, my teammates, a couple to Toledo. So, we had a really good team, and it was a tournament at Bowling Green. It was the Black Swamp Classic, and it's one of the biggest tournaments in the Midwest. And in the semifinal game, I was 5-for-5. I hit for the cycle. I think I had 9 RBIs, and, that – right after that game, our coach, Ray Neal, who was, one of the legends around this area in coaching baseball, he basically was like, I think I'm going to sit you for the final game because you're going to be very busy on Monday. And I was junior in high school, didn't really understand what he meant. He's like, you're going to be getting a lot of phone calls Monday night, the recruiting path, because there's a lot of colleges here. And, you just pretty much wrote your ticket to college with that game. So, at that point, I think I realized, wow, I can play with all these guys. A lot of big-name guys were in those tournaments, and, I was right there with them. I went to a showcase. I ended up getting ranked as the second outfielder in Ohio. I think I was top 10 player, and it's a little different now. They have, 4 stars, 5 stars. They have all the showcases. Yeah. And that's the difference between when I was getting recruited and nowadays. You put a video up, you're throwing 95 miles per hour, and, every team's over you. So, back then, you had to actually physically, they had to be present to kind of see what you could do. So right after that, I think Monday I had 27 colleges.
So was it more of a confidence thing? You had ability. Obviously, you're all Ohio in 3 sports. So then right. You're kind of like, all right, I'm all in on baseball and confidence.
Yeah, at that point, I realized that was it. I had a couple colleges, Division II colleges calling me for football, and then once baseball got involved, I think the college coaches kind of talked with the football coaches, a couple schools like Eastern Michigan, Toledo, Sniffle Bowling Green a little bit. We're kind of wanting me to play both sports. And, my college coach thought I was going to be try to play 2 sports. So he was pretty pumped when I told him I was really going to focus on baseball. So, it was a fun process, but yeah, during football season, that was when I started, getting all the calls, and it was a busy time. I mean, how recruiting goes, and you're on the phone 3-4 hours a night. And I did a different podcast, and I said, that's basically your interview, for the rest of your life, because, you might only talk to one coach one time. And if they don't like what they have to hear, you might not hear back.
They're moving on to the next, right?
So you had to kind of focus every call, and you had to give full attention and answer, to the best of your ability, what they asked you, and had to be yourself because you didn't want to, put on a front. And
when you're young, you're junior high school, yeah. So it's kind of a lot, years old, lot on your really plate, know. Right?
Yeah, the pressure of that, looking back, it's like, well, I must have handled it well. So, looking back, it's an eye-opening experience of, I know what some of these guys have to be going through that are 5-star football recruits, and, 130 colleges are calling them, and how do you narrow that list down and visit where you want to visit? And so it's, it was fun.
So why BG?
One of the things was my family was, my mom was always at every game. I wanted, my family to be able to come to the games. That was a close one. Another, I was down to kind of BG, West Virginia was one big one.
Oh, really?
Okay. Indiana, Michigan State, and then a couple of the other MAC schools. It's funny, Kent State was the first team to call me, and I kind of blew them off, and God, they ended up going to the regionals every year and out of our bracket. So a couple of my buddies went there, and they're like, why didn't you come? So looking back, and, you know, that would have been a good move, but I had no regrets at BG. I won, you know, we won two MAC titles regular season, you know, and I had a pretty good career there. So, but it was just, you know, the atmosphere, the close to home. You know, I liked what the coaches had to hear, or, you know, what they had to say about what they thought, you know, my role would be. So it was just that fit. I, you know, when you know, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It's one of those decisions, right? The biggest decision in your life at that point in your life, right?
Right, yeah.
And then and you were familiar with football, right? Your brother played at Butler, right?
Yeah, yeah. I played at Butler for 3 years. He was kind of one that talked me out of football.
Okay. I was wondering if it was any kind of steering path there.
You know, he said the path, you know, your path is better probably in baseball. And he broke both ankles. You know, he broke his ankle at the beginning of the year in football, came back, broke the other ankle, and that was pretty much the career ender for him and in college. So, you know, that kind of made the decision. He's like, you know, you're a tackling dummy. You're, you know, just early on, and you got to take the hits. You got to stick with it. And it's a brutal sport. And I saw the football guys in college and how they, you know, how they were in the training room and, you know, their injuries. And, but I'll tell you, nobody's tougher than hockey guys. Those were the toughest.
Would you learn
teams.
That at BG? Or
what, oh, yeah. Yeah. They shared pretty much a locker room and training room with us. And they would take their shirts off and just have bruises the size of a basketball on their ribs because, you know, they took one in the ribs. And
well, it's probably because you didn't have wrestling at BG, though, right? I didn't know any. I don't know any hockey players that well, but I know they're darn tough, that's for sure. But so at BG, you mentioned Jeff had a couple ankle injuries. You had what, an elbow injury? Is that what you're kind of in college kind of had to deal through that?
Yeah, I was my elbow injury was a. First one was because of you.
I figured that story was going to come up somehow.
My sister and Jared were babysitting, supposed to be watching us. I think I was nine or 10. Corey is a year younger. Troy's 2 years younger than me, is Jared's brothers. And we built these Omegas. They're little pipe kit things you build. And we built a double slide. We thought it was a great idea to turn all the lights off, cover it with blankets, couldn't see a thing.
Blame it on Corey. I think it was Corey's fault. Corey's idea, right?
Corey started shaking it. Troy was standing on it. I fell off of it. My elbow kind of planted on the ground, and Troy came right down on top of me. So
I mean, me and Kelly just kept telling you, shut up.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was bad. I had a sweatshirt on, and until we took the sweatshirt off, that's when we realized it was game time.
It's time to call Nancy.
Yeah. We called everybody. We couldn't get, you know, cell phones weren't big back then. We couldn't get a hold of anybody. We were one step away from the squad. So
yeah, it was bad. That looked like a softball in your elbow there.
Yeah, that was my first. And then I re-broke that elbow my sophomore year in a wrestling match. I was telling you, it was kind of an irrelevant wrestling match. It was like,
so it was the same arm?
Same elbow.
Okay.
I kind of had my elbow posted. I was winning. It was the finals match. I think it was up like 8-0, and the kid optional started me. Kids from Lima Central Catholic. I wrestled him my senior year, first round of state. It's pretty funny. I got my payback in that. So, anyways, optional start. He goes to cut me, and he crashes back down. I turn, and my elbow is playing, and his kneecap just hit my elbow and just hyperextended. And I kind of, like, the ref stopped it immediately. I stood up. My elbow was facing the other way, and I grabbed it and pulled it back in. And I was like, you know what? I feel all right. And
oh, really?
Coach Heem, Mark Heemster was our coach. He's like, are you sure you feel okay? I'm like, I can go. About a minute later, I realized, like, this was a bad
something serious.
Yeah. I finished the match with one arm. I ended up winning. Glory, you know. So excited. Not really. looked down on my elbow, and it was, like, the size of a watermelon. And I'm like, this isn't good. So that was the end of my sophomore year, really. I did come back and wrestle like 3 matches later in the year, and we just taped it up. Like, I couldn't even move it. First match they sent me out, it was against a 3-time state champ from Michigan. So thanks, Coach Team, for that one.
Was that a BG duels? Or
no, that was at the Chippewa duels in Michigan.
Oh, you guys went up there? Okay.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Tanner Shear had this wise idea. We were going to set the national record for takedowns, and I didn't like to take people down, and he went out there and had like 14 takedowns, and, you know, Corey had, it was, I ended up with 8 in one of the matches. That was, you know, I wrestled like 2 3-time state champs in that tournament, which sucked. I didn't last very long in the match. It was tough. The guy actually looked like my dad and wore the old the headgear that my brother used to wear.
Oh, yeah. What were those called? I was forget what they were. I don't know. I forget.
They were awful.
Yeah. Not a good idea, but yeah.
Yeah. But that was – so then, you know, that elbow injury kind of hindered me the rest of – I was a pitcher and a catcher up until that point.
And that's when you shifted to outfield, right?
I had to play first base that year because I didn't really throw much. And then
so it was just a broken elbow, or what was the
– I tore my ulnar collateral ligament.
Okay.
And then back then, though, it was like Tommy John was – you know, a surgery was 18-month recovery. So I had to miss my entire junior year. And I would have, you know, completely probably been ready to play football my senior year. And, you know, we weighed the options, and they basically said you can, you know, you can take some medication, you can rest it, and try to make it through.
What's the recovery on that now? I have no clue.
You can get about 8 to 9 months. Really? You know, there's guys that come off in 3-4 months. There was a guy at Kent State that, you know, that one that plays, and he was throwing 95 off the mound four months after surgery. So
no way.
Wasn't supposed to be, but, you know, he just
some people are just different.
Yeah,
right?
That's why he's still a professional athlete. So,
you were part, right? Your team won state every year, right? And in wrestling,
year,
right?
Yeah.
So not only were you, you know, all state, you know, you're part of all state or a state championship team every year. So you're surrounded by studs in the wrestling room. Fast forward, you know, you have the injuries. BG, I don't want to skip over all the BG stuff, but, you know, those injuries kind of lead you, right? Because now you have your doctorate of physical therapy, correct?
Yes.
I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
People like me, I don't know the term.
I was in college forever.
Okay.
Basically, you know, I did like 8 years of college. It's like a 7.5-year program, and you basically go through grad school year-round. So it's a long program, but I actually wanted to be an FBI agent. That's what I wanted.
Is that what you originally wanted to?
Yeah, I got into criminal justice class, and the first thing they told us, like, you don't go right into the FBI unless you know somebody. So who do you know? I'm like, I don't know, the guy in CSI Miami. I know him. He's a pretty good dude. So then they were like, yeah, you got to be like a local cop and, you know, a police and work your way up. And I was just like, I don't know that this is right for me anymore. So I kind of shuffled and looked at what I could do. And I was like, you know what? I always went to therapy. Mm-hmm. I was in therapy through high school, through college. So it just led me into that route. And, you know, I like, you know, I'm athletic background and, you know, I like helping people, and it just worked out. And here I am today and work a mile from home, and it's nice.
It's pretty nice. It's a pretty nice setup. So you went through the injuries, right? And like you said, you're in school for a while, man. And I remember talking to you. You had passing the test was a tough spot, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's not easy, right? I mean,
no,
being
getting
your doctorate and anything's not easy, but definitely.
Yeah, and that's, you know, even
when you got in, I think I remember talking to Scotty, right? Like, they only select how many people they even selected into the school. Wasn't it real small?
28 was my class.
Okay, but how many people applied?
Nowadays, and I think it was 400 to 500 at the time.
Okay,
I think
so you had to be 28 of 400 to 500, and then after that, you know, getting
nowadays,
through the program, right?
It's like 700 are applying to these schools.
Jeez,
so it's tough. It's competitive.
Right.
And they basically, like, you know, like anything, they try to weed you out early.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned real quick that I couldn't just not study like I did in undergrad. And, you know, I was smart enough in undergrad. I just kind of studied for a couple hours before the test, and I was fine. And learned real quick. And in grad school, if you get a couple C's, you know, you don't get through. So learned real quick that I had to, you know, step it up, and I took care of it, and, you know, got through, and hey, now I'm making a career.
now you're getting to do what you love and, you know, be part of, you know, the rehab, but you had to go through, so you can kind of, I'm sure, talk to those people, right? Because it's probably just as mentally draining at times too, getting through the rehab, right? It's not, okay, I got this therapy, but it's like, got to be frustrating when you have setbacks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you probably have that, you know what to say to him, right?
Yeah, at times. My coworkers will tell you I'm not the most compassionate person, so will my wife.
So do you take the Scotty route instead of the Nancy
Pretty
route?
Pretty much, yeah. I'm more of my dad in every aspect in terms of that. You know, when people will sit there and, you know, complain, I just don't want to hear it. Like, this is what we got to do to get through it, and you're either going to do it. There's path A and there's path B, and that's kind of how I always was in everything. There's path A, there's, you know, the hard way, and there's the easy way, and in my, you know, profession now, the easy way gets you, you know, guys that limp around and guys that hobble and people that walk with their, you know, bent over. That's,
back in
that's
surgery
the easy
again,
way.
Right?
And then the guys are, you know, and I honestly, women are tougher than men when it comes to recovery. Like, I'll say that they, it's.
Is it because they're more diligent in the recovery or in the process of rehab or what,
yeah,
what's the.
Yeah, definitely more, you know, more diligent. A lot of guys think they're just tough and they can get through it. And, you know, some, I'm not saying all guys are like that.
But on the average.
I've had a lot of guys that come through with knees and everything and they get through really quick. And, but then there's a lot that just, you know, lack behind. And the best thing about my job is everyone comes in and they're a 9 or a 10 out of 10 pain. And, you know, our joke at work is a 10 out of 10 pain is we have to call the squad. Like, that's the worst imagine. Like, you're getting attacked by a bear or a shark is pulling you underwater. That's a 10 out of 10. It's the worst imaginable pain is a 10. So I'm like, so if you're a 10, I'm going to call the squad. And then they say, like, oh, okay, well, it's maybe it's a 4, but I have a high pain tolerance. Everybody has a high pain tolerance.
Everybody's in a tough guy.
Everyone's a high pain tolerance. Then you'll get the people that are just like, I do not like pain, and, you know, it's about a 5. And I'm like, okay, that's fair. So it's pretty funny. And, you know, just looking back, and some of the times I was probably in therapy saying, you know, I don't know, it's 9 out of 10 in my elbow. And, you know, so I have some, you know, I feel bad for some people. And not that I don't feel bad for everybody, but. You know, right. Some people, it's just you got to get through it, and you know, and some people just
sometimes they need to hear what they need to hear, right? They need to hear what they need to hear, right?
Right, right. And some of the girls I work with are a little bit better at communicating that to people. So sometimes I'll pass them to them for a day and be like, "Listen, you got to give a little pep talk to this guy or this girl," and then I'll see them the next time. So we'll see where they're at.
So, is there any common? Is it mostly like surgery, like rehab, or is it just injuries, or is it all over the place what you deal with or in your field, do you kind of, you deal with a specific injury and then your colleagues deal with this? Like, how's that work?
So I'm in an outpatient setting. So I pretty much, you know, people that can walk in the door are coming to me right after surgery. They come to me. I'd say we get like 50% of the patients are like post-op knees, backs, shoulders, hips, replacements.
So knees and hip replacement,
yeah,
shoulder reconstruction.
Of, you know, high school athletes that are ACL, shoulders.
Okay.
And then, you know, we get a lot of back pain, people just coming in for back and neck pain. And
don't be making fun of my seat here.
Yeah, or people, you guys can't see this, but, and like, okay. This is the first in live person one. I'm just going to let you know, Jared's sitting on a 4-inch Tempur-Pedic donut over there, set is for his back pain, but.
It's proper alignment. I don't want to come see you. Then seriously,
yeah.
It's funny when I did my upstairs ones. I had to stand on a wrestling. I think I said on one of the podcasts, I'd use like a wrestling mat because I was too short for the camera. But this is like proper alignment. Don't be making fun of my donut. I don't want to see you.
Those are for hemorrhoids, but
it is a donut. You're right.
It is a donut. There's no way around it. While we're talking about that, I just want to, you know, sponsor of S&H. Oh, I got to talk to them afterwards. About the money deal that they're going to have to, I got an NLI or NIL here. So Corey, if you're watching this or when you watch this, I'll be hitting you up.
That's awesome. No, I definitely give the S&H shout outs from time to time. Gotta rep the brand.
Yeah, I mean,
so.
I grew up above the shop.
So let's talk about the backyard,
oh,
right?
Oh, God.
Right? What do you remember? Do you remember baseball or football back there? What do you remember?
I remember baseball more. Okay. I mean, we played everything back there, but. Baseball, I mean, it was like the prime home run derby baseball field. You know, and back then it was like huge.
Yeah, it's pretty. Looking back, it's like, oh, that's all it was. Then why'd we use a tennis ball just so you could hit dingers?
So right? Hit it Gilbert's parking lot. Like, there was a right field was a car, like a new.
And there were some trees though, right?
There were some trees that could knock it down, but like it was like your goal, and we'd get chased out of that place, but we were just trying to hit tennis balls at brand new cars. That was our goal. But you had to learn how to hit opposite field, and like I was a pole hitter most of the time, so you had to actually go over the house
and left, right?
And yeah, the green monster.
That was a big, white monster.
It was big.
Did you play under? So Ed, my dad installed lights. Did you play under the lights at all?
Oh yeah, we played football under the lights, baseball. I was there when we built the tree house back there.
See, I was too old for the tree house.
Yeah, there was a lot of crazy times there.
Zeb would call it the stabbing cabin. That's what he'd call it.
Yeah, no, I wrestling Drew, and like I thought I was really good at wrestling at that because he like we would like wrestle in your living room, and it Drew like hung out with me because Corey would be too cool at times and Troy was too like a brat, you know, we were just like cheek skit like scram and you were older, so you were, you know, and Drew would like wrestle me and like he'd be like, all right, state finals, and like I thought I was beating him. Like
he'd let you roll with him?
Oh, yeah, he'd let me in.
He'd probably go, like, double OT and stuff or something.
Yeah, there were some times he would take out on me a little bit, but then he'd, like, at the end of the match, he'd be like, all right, you won. I'm like, state champ, man. Then when he goes to high school and 3-time state champ. I'm like,
all right, I must be all right.
Yeah.
Did you play in the back, going to the backyard, the field goal post? You remember when Dad built the field goal post? The PVC pipe, man. I thought that was pretty cool.
I couldn't kick. I was terrible at kicking.
Did you punt?
I punted.
Okay.
I only punted because the guy who could kick really far on our team couldn't catch the ball and punt it.
He
could punt it like 70 yards, but the concept of catching, taking the steps and punting it, like if no one was there, he could punt it.
But not in a live situation. Yeah,
I think we kind of put me there for that fake punt opportunity that we never ran.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch you guys much. I came back for state. I think I came back for like state football playoffs. But I was, at Kent doing my thing, I didn't get back much. So you know how it is. But the backyard though, man, was we had a wrestling mat for a minute. Do you remember that at all? In the basement or the side room, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, briefly remember that.
Air hockey table.
It's still there. That's still there.
There's the Papa Shot, the air hockey table.
Papa Shot, I forgot about that too. Any stories of Ed Upfer growing up?
So, I mean, everybody talks about Eddie. And everybody in the wrestling world knows who Eddie is. But the coolest thing is,
for those that don't know, Ed's my dad. Right? Yeah. But he's been a big part of the wrestling world, in Ohio at least.
For sure. And, I mean, the coolest part about what I got to grow up was, he was, my second dad. I was at your guys' house, or Corey was at my, our parents were good friends.
And I was at your house with Jeff.
Yeah.
After all the sporting. They had an RV together, right?
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Stories about the RV. So Eddie, he obviously is, one of the nicest, even my wife, who didn't grow up around here, and she's like, he genuinely is the nicest person I think I know. And he would go out of his way for anybody, especially the people, that he knows closest, and really anybody in general. But just growing up, I got to, he was like my second dad. So it was pretty cool. And, I saw him throw you through a wall one time, and
all the boys probably, right?
It was, yeah. Four boys in a house that all wrestle, and that's too much. And Julie was a saint. She used to make, the 5-gallon, Gatorade container of Tang. That was, I don't think I could have Tang at my house. But, we went to your house, and it was just I'd show up, be like, is the Gatorade? It's out, okay.
She'd make the 5-gallon, jug, right?
Yeah, and we would complain sometimes, there's not enough
sugar.
Not enough sugar, and
shut up.
So she'd just hype us up with sugar and just let us run. And your house was awesome. It was just the setup of the house, and in general, your parents, and I even got my this is, my wife hates me. I keep everything. So these are cards. So these are all Ed and Julie cards from just sports.
From high school.
These are a couple of them. I kept everything, but every sporting event before every, athletic event I did, every big wrestling tournament, every big football game, I would get I'd get a letter, and you read one, and this is, congratulations on your career at SMCC, and this is the 2 reasons why you succeed. We're proud of you for all the work you did. Getting to 125, that's a freshman year one.
Oh, that's when you're like 6 foot tall, cutting 125?
I was 6'1". I wrestled 152 in the first tournament. And then they were like, basically, you gotta bump down to 125. And I'm like counting in my head, I'm like, 6'1", 120, that's just not a good idea. But so you were actually the first person to call me, because I think, Coach Heemstra called you and was like, you got to call him and tell him how to diet.
And I was probably at Kent, right?
Yeah, then. So I literally, my mom, exactly what you said is what I did. It was oatmeal, non-fat oatmeal with non-fat jelly every morning, awful, spray butter.
That's the best.
You just spray it in your mouth. I remember going home, and I could have I measured out, I could have a fourth of a cup of Crystal Light, and I would gain 15 pounds. And that's the funny thing about wrestlers, right?
You measure everything. You
weigh yourself, and you put a glass of water next to you, and then you step on the scale with the water, and you're like, okay, that's, half a pound. You drink the water, you step back on, and you're a pound and a half heavier. And it's like, wait a minute. And it's a real thing. But I had a green apple for lunch. And every night was a chicken breast with a non-fat piece of or cheese and 4 pieces of broccoli. And I literally did that for 6 weeks straight. And I made weight. I actually started off pretty good that year. And I got into some tanks in the conference. And, my weight class was tough.
The conference back then, I was just having to conversation with Michael Baxter, who's a little younger than you, he's Troy's age, but the conference back then from like my age to like his age was like off the charts. But,
right. Yeah,
so who was in the conference in your age? Like some of the guys, like the Oak Harbor guys had some tough guys, right?
Yeah, so actually my senior year I lost 4 matches my senior year. I came back for the SBC duels. That was my first tournament back. The second match I had to wrestle Keith Witt. They bumped him up to wrestle me, and I chin ripped him, and he was pinned. Keith, you were pinned. I'm looking at you. All right. So
these
I'm
boys
like,
of Troy,
my God, just get
him
this
and Troy
over.
Are good buds.
I know. I and chin ripped him in the first period, and it was 5-0. And I was like, I don't have anything left. Like, it was my first tournament back. So my senior year in football, I actually tore my labrum in my left shoulder.
Oh, geez, no way.
So everyone thought it was my right shoulder because it was, you know, my football. They thought it was throwing injury, but I actually tore my left labrum, and I wasn't supposed to wrestle that year. And I actually saw Dr. Patterson, who, you know, who doesn't know Dr. Patterson from around that era?
Right.
He basically told me, you know, with baseball and everything, it's probably wise you know, wrestling's not in the cards this year. So I wasn't going to wrestle. And then we just started having a couple injuries and then another injury and then – you know, like one of our guys that could have been a state champ towards ACL in football, you know, and I think he would have been the guy that won his weight class. He beat the year before. Dusty Hermes was 44-0 and he, you know, blew his thumb out, had to have surgery. He was done. He was projected state champ. And so I always talk about this with your brother about, you know, that state record of scoring. I think we would have been close that year.
Yeah.
But I think it just got to the point where I was like, you know, my shoulder feels good enough. I'm just going to go out there. We'll act like it's my right shoulder and let people crank on that. And so, yeah, that first tournament back was SBC Duels. It was tough. I wrestled, you know, Mohammed Hamad from Perkins was a state qualifier. Kid from Port Clint was a state qualifier. The kid I wrestled from Clyde was a state qualifier.
Wow.
Obviously, Keith Witt was a state champ. The kid I wrestled from Edison was, like, fifth at district. So,
oh, wow.
It was tough. I think I went 5-2 in that, and then I pretty much won out till the sectional finals. I was up 14-1. Kid optional started me. I didn't tear my elbow this match. Tossed me in it. I was going to take him down to
sectional finals, right?
St.
Paul kid?
In the head and arm.
St. Paul?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Corey Braden.
Yeah, so you lost sectionals.
Launched me in the head and arm, and I think I fought it for like a minute and a half, and I was like, I'm done. You know what? This ain't worth it. I've counted every light tile in this place. I'm about to pass out. Like, I'm just going to lay down. That was... You know,
sectional
I wasn't
finals.
Really and even that mad. I wrestled him in the district finals.
You beat him back, right?
I beat him. I majored him. I just stayed away. In the last period, I chose top and just stayed there so I didn't get head and armed. And then I actually wrestled him in the state for third and fourth that year.
Right.
I pinned him in 37 seconds. So
yeah,
I had to get my revenge.
I was there for that.
Yeah, my state semifinals, I lost in overtime.
So you're... Like I said, obviously, player of the year of football, overtime away from making the state finals. And
the match that was right before us was the other side of the bracket. It was the two kids I pinned the week before.
I didn't know that.
And I knew. Like, I watched the kid from Genoa made it, and I think I pinned him in the first
period.
Who was
that?
I can't even think of his name. It'll come to me.
Huh.
But, so I watched that match, and I literally, like, in my head, I'm like, this is, like... I was almost celebrating before and then I wrestled this kid from Massillon Tussle who transferred from Massillon Perry, and he was tough. He watched my first two matches, obviously, because I was I wasn't an offensive guy. I was a defensive wrestler, and he knew exactly what not to do to get tossed. And so I pinned 4 guys at state, and I hit the same move on all 4 of them.
What was it, chin whip?
I did like my own version of a chin
whip.
I think it's illegal now, they say.
Would you step through with it?
Okay. They would shoot. I would try to snap them down. I'd just get their chin, and they'd step up, and I had really good hips, so I'd just...
Maybe long arms, too, right?
Yeah.
Right?
So that
reach
was
around.
Move. And first 2 rounds of state, a minute 20, a minute 50, pin, and then I thought, oh, hell, I just got to hit this move 1 time in the state semifinals. I'm good. He ended up getting me in the state. And you remember back then, like, St. Mary's, everybody hated us.
Right. They weren't.
They were
winning state every year. So, like, if you're winning it, you're
it's
rooted
like a
against.
It's like St. guy or a Graham guy now getting taken down. The whole place goes nuts. And you hear, too. That was the only thing I could ever hear. Like, that whole state tournament, you don't hear anything at state. But when I got taken down in overtime, the whole place says, I still dream about that. Like, I hear, too. And I'm like, you know, at that moment, it was like, man, like, crap. So then I had to wrestle back, and my first match back was the predicted state champ who wrestled the kid that from Brendan Baum the year before.
Okay.
In the state finals, who Brendan beat in overtime. So I pinned him with 1 second left.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I pinned him in a chin rip with 1 second. Well, not 1 second, but like 15 seconds left of the match. I was going for a major to get more points for the team. And I think he just laid there and I pinned him. And that pretty much sealed the
team title.
For us. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
That was pretty cool. So I ended up pinning 4 guys at state that year, which was cool.
A lot of points.
Yeah, I think I ended up with like 25 points. I was a third place or so. Wrote about it the next year in the report.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. But wrestling. But like I said, it definitely paved my path, and I learned a lot of good lessons from wrestling.
Right, and then so we even touched on this. You were the coach, right? Baseball coach, right?
Yeah.
So what? Graduating from BG, then you got your doctor. Kind of was it a natural path to get into coaching, or what was the kind of the thought process behind, because that's a lot of responsibility, right?
Right.
Taking that time. So what was the thought process behind, jumping in being a coach?
So I came back to, and I never got into coaching for money or, I just wanted to help kids. And that was my thought from the beginning, was if I can teach a kid one thing about life or a sport, even if it's one kid, 1 year, if one kid learns something while I'm a coach, I've done, my job.
Right.
I have parents that tell me, my kid loved you and all that. And so it's good to hear that. I came back to a practice at our, my alma mater at St. Mary's, and they had a pretty good team there. And, there was some talent and there were some things I saw that I thought, hey, I could help out. And the coach asked me to come back. And then the coach asked me to come back. And then the next year he's like, do you want to be, kind of a full-time assistant? So I thought, yeah, that's, a good idea. And I had some spare time back then. And I ended up doing it 2 years as an assistant. Then, he stepped away and, it was kind of natural, like, hey, they need a coach. And, I was with those kids already, and I just felt like, hey, I'm already here. I feel like
obligated.
I've got a good group here. And, I just felt like I can't just leave these kids, to somebody they don't know or trust or, to start all over again. So I just kind of fell right into that position. And so I did that for 5 years. COVID, the 1 year, obviously knocked us out.
Right.
I actually had a really good team that year.
Like the team you were going to have, right? You're kind of building up
with that team. Yeah, right? That was kind of the 4 year window of, that was the team we, we had 2 kids that were all Ohio on that team. One kid returning from an injury that was, could have been an All-Ohio kid. I had 2 other seniors that had, been in the system for 3 years. And it was just, exciting times. Our first practice, it was March 13th when they shut us down. And first practice was like February 27th. So we had 2 weeks in and we looked good. It was like, wow, this, finally the kids get it. And this is what
you've been working for not just
A
year, but for multiple years.
And when I started, we had 14 kids on the team. And the next year we had 17. And then worked our way up to 28, that were signed up. And then, last year I ended up with 26 kids. So we have a lot of kids out, which is, a good thing. And a lot of kids, hey, I like to play because you're coaching. And so that made it hard. I ended up, resigning this year.
You got 2 little ones now, right? I mean, that's probably the main, the main reason.
That's the reason why. And, telling a 14-year-old kid that, they just think, I'm stepping away because I don't like them or
–
But, that was tough, and I thought about it for, I thought about that for a year and a half. My wife keeps saying, if you want to keep doing it, keep doing it, and just got to the point where it was too much. Next year my kid's, he'll be 3. He's already, 6-year-old, 16, in a 16-year-old body. I go out, and we play baseball every day. He has to constantly, we play baseball, we play football, and now his new thing is let's play wrestle. So He likes to play wrestling. He knows the half. He knows to shake hands to begin the match. When he shakes hands, he does a spin and then dives at me.
The trickery.
It's a little jujitsu thing. I'm not sure. We got to work on it because he'll get blasted on that. But taught him the half, and when I get on my back, he hits the mat and says pin, and then he gets up and we shake hands and he holds his hand up and says winner. So at 2 years old, it's pretty cool. So mom wants him to play basketball. I don't think that will fly.
That was Scotty, right?
Yeah, and then, another thing with, my wife was, she's like the rock star in terms of, being a coach. She knew, what it meant to me to be around the sport, and she always, hey, do this, keep doing it if you want to do it. And so, I owe a lot to her. you know, take a lot of time away from her. It's, you know, our conference in baseball is, you know, our closest game's 40 minutes away. And, you know, so we're driving anywhere from 40 minutes to an hour and a half, you know, for games. So I'm not getting home till 9:30, 10 o'clock some nights after, you know, going back, getting all the equipment and everything. So it was just the right time to step down. I think, you know, the right people are in place to, you know, keep going. So, but like I said, it's more of a, you know, I wanted one kid to learn one thing, whether it was about life, about sports. And I feel like I taught quite a few things. So it wasn't always about baseball. It was about, right, you know, life lessons and, you know, different things like that. And I feel like that's, as a high school coach, you got to teach kids, because looking back, you know, some of those things I didn't learn, and, you know, and it was, you know, just good life lessons to have. So
did you learn anything from the kids? Was there any moment that you're like, man, I learned, like, yeah, I didn't think I'd learn this from this kid, yeah, or something? Is there any specific that you kind of, you know, I have a few myself, but it's like, holy crap, I learned this from this kid.
There are some rules that, like, baseball is crazy. Like, there are things that, like, pop up in the middle, and I had to, like, get the rule book out a few times, and, like, some of the,
well, maybe not about rules, but even just life. Like, oh, yeah, you know what I mean? Because, like, now you have, but, right, you start coaching when you didn't have kids, so you're dealing with these high school kids, and then now you're having your kids, like, man, I, you know.
You learn a lot about patience with kids.
Good call.
Yeah, we would teach something 15 times. You know, I would script out practices in the beginning, and literally, you know, they'd be like an hour and a half, and it would end up being like 2 hours and 15 minutes. But, like, we'd spend what should have took 10 minutes, we'd spend about 45 minutes on. And it was just like, and then the next day we go back over, and it's like, guys, how do we not remember, you know, where first base is? It's, you know, it's, you know, I always ask the question at the beginning of the year, who here watches baseball? And, like, two kids raise their hand. I'm like, all right, that's a problem. Watch more baseball.
Step one.
You figure out the rules by watching. But, yeah, just, you know, everybody comes up in a different lifestyle. And, you know, that small school when I, you know, was in high school, we didn't hang around with a ton of kids from other schools like they do nowadays. Mm-hmm. Like, nowadays, kids' best friends are from schools 30 minutes away. And I'm like, how do you even, like, we met through Twitter. I'm like, okay. But then, you know, you go to college and you realize how much more they're, like, you know, different, you know, backgrounds of people and from different countries. And, you know, and you're basically in class with all these people, and you learn so much from them. And, you know, coming back, you learn so much about different family aspects. And that, those are the things I learned the most. And so that was it's a good, you know, especially then having kids.
So that's what my next question was going to be, you know, as a coach and now as a father, did you learn anything, you know, before you're a father about, you know, how to raise a kid or, you know, son or daughter? You know, you mentioned watching it on TV. So it kind of, did that impact you in any way at how to be a, you know, a better parent?
Yeah. First off, are you situated on that donut?
No.
You're moving around a lot.
They're flaring up. No, I'm kidding.
But yeah.
No, my back's feeling good.
My God, you're making me want to move. Yeah, you know, the kids, you know, teaching, you know, kids about sports really gets you ready for your own kids. You know, like I said, I was saying the life lessons that I want to teach my kid, I want him to know everything about everything. As much as he can know, that, you know, the more is better. My wife taught me that. Like, when he was in the womb, we would sit and talk to him because they, you know, recognize your voice, recognize words. And even when he couldn't talk, it was say as many words as you can so that he can, you know, learn that. And then, you know, teaching or, you know, coaching kids, you know, some of these kids just never learned, you know, the right way to do something.
Some people didn't learn how to learn, right?
Yeah, and you go through that with coaching. You know, how do you coach this kid compared to this kid? This kid is easy to coach, and this kid is very tough to coach. So what is your approach to this kid versus this kid? And you don't want to single out a kid. And, you know, I thought I got better at that as I went, and I think I'm going to continue to get better with that. And those are things that I learned that I'll pass on, you know, to my kid in ways that, hey, this might not work for him, so I'm going to have to teach him this way. And, you know, one of the best things I think is I want other people to coach my kid when he's growing up.
100%.
Because right. I want them to be hard on him. Mm-hmm. You know, I want that old school, like, you know, if he's not doing something right, you're gonna discipline him and let him know, you know, why it's not right, or, you know, this is how we do things. So I don't want to be that guy that coaches him in every sport, but, you know, baseball comes around, I want to help him with baseball, but, hey, his other sports, you know, I want other people coaching him to, you know, so that he knows there's a difference between dad and coach, and, you know, so he can respect, you know, other people like he respects me.
So you're already scouting out 3-year-olds dads right now who's going to coach?
I've got like six. You know, I'm going to start a like a 4-year T-ball team next year, and And, you know, I think he's ready. I was saying a little bit earlier, we play all the time, and, you know, he knows how to pitch. He knows the motion. He tells me all the time, Dad, put two hands on the bat. And, you know, or
knows.
When I hit it, he says, run to first. And, you know, he has that down. He hits it, and he runs to first. And the coolest thing is I don't have to throw him underhand. My wife always throws it, like, underhand. I'm like, do not throw the ball underhand to him. Like, learn throw it overhand. Let's get it right. And, you know, he can hit the ball now. And so, that, you know, that's pretty cool. And then I have a five-month-old daughter, so I'm going to have to figure out, like, golf, you know, things like that.
Softball,
that weekend. Yeah.
Right? Or no?
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, hopefully she's got, you know, I hope my kids have athletic genes in them. But, you know, either way, whatever they want to do is, you know, I'll support whatever they want to do, whether it's, you know, my wife is a huge runner. She runs the neighborhood.
Right.
Yeah. Nine months pregnant. She's out running 3 miles every morning. She's crazy. Runs the dog around. And
yeah, Barley gets the most miles in the neighborhood, I'm sure.
Yeah. And that's, it's, she, like, her drive, you know, get up early and runs. And I wish I still had that. I tell her every day, I'm like, I did enough running in college. I don't need to do anymore.
Still got some in the bank.
Yeah. I probably, yeah. Still got some. So, but yeah, she's inspiring in terms of that.
Yeah. So you mentioned kind of throwback, having someone being tough on your kid, and we have to bring it up, right? Do you have any Scotty Blanton stories? So anyone that doesn't know Scotty, right, he's about as throwback as they could be, yeah. Tells you how it is. You mentioned Ed was your second father. You know, Scotty was mine, you know, whether it was over there, you know, whenever, right? He's the biggest St. Mary's supporter. We still go over to wrestling tournaments, but, you know, he'll tell you what you need to hear, and he's not going to sugarcoat it, but – you know, I have several stories, but do you have any stories off the top of your mind?
I mean, there's a lot of stories you can't even tell on the air about Scotty. But yeah, he was tough, and that was his way of showing love. I think it was that tough love,
right?
And he never like overstepped his boundary in terms of sports. You know, he let others coach me. You know, he coached me, let others coach me. And yeah, the funniest thing was he hated baseball. You know, he hated baseball and
right. Wrestling and IndyCar, right?
Is that wrestling, football, and Indy. You okay, know, that and football was his too, obviously. Thing. Yep. And yeah, he, you know, he's gone to the Indy 546 straight times or whatever. You know, except for the COVID year and except for his graduation. But we get to bond at that now. And
did you go this year?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Yeah, the baby, right?
Like six so. People. We were to a point where there was like 17, 18 guys going in that group and or women too, but. You know, I went 10 straight years and then had a baby and then he's like, you'll never be back, but I'll be back.
Yeah, I only made it five. I'm trying to get
you got
my dad
up.
To go back too. Yeah. Be like a group getting back there.
Oh but. Yeah, for sure. We're going to push him around a wheelchair someday there. That's, you know, his ultimate goal. You know, when if he
was he on the History Channel? Was he on the History Channel or something? What's that story? I forget that
they,
one.
Some Australian group came by and they were like, had all these cameras and like you could tell they were legit and they started filming. So we were like, they were filming us play cornhole and we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like we got to get you Scotty Blanton. And this was the year we had like shirts made. It was his 40th Indy and it was the 100th running. So he had been to 40 of 100 in person. So we got him on there and oh God, he started saying things that I don't think they could play, but yeah, he ended up being on like Australians, ESPN, some history documentary on Indy 500. So it was pretty funny. It's like a 20-second clip. But just going back, I mean, he, I mean, in terms of that, my brother acted up one time, and this didn't happen to me, but he stapled him to the floor while they were doing construction at the house because my brother was just acting up. So he took a staple gun and just stapled his clothes.
Probably this little
child abuse or anything. And he, you know, nowadays probably not fly, but
he was like this is probably 1980.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, hey, he got his work done. And just, you know, he took us to everything. Like you said earlier, they had the RV and that was some of the most bonding moments. You know, we went to every wrestling tournament and the kids, I think sometimes we hated going, like we enjoyed the ride, you know, and then we got there and we realized like, shit, we have to wrestle. Like, I remember
except for Tommy
like,
Guerrero. He walked up the mat the one time.
And yeah, he made it to the semifinals at Tournament Champions and just forfeited out, got sixth. Just had to win one match.
But now that camper, man, we had some good trips.
If the walls could talk on that thing.
Right.
I mean, there were the wheels falling off, the canvas falling off, breaking down, getting pulled over, popping tires. I think Eddie was driving at one time on the way to Tournament Champions. The tire popped. But even with that, you know, he went to every tournament with that. So there was, you know, when he was in the gym with other teams, he didn't like them, especially Perkins. Always, to this day, we have this big quarrel, and part of my nieces and nephews go to Perkins, and he's still, you know, this big. And it's like, it's not like it used to be, Dad. But, you know, outside in the parking lot, it was, hey, come on into the motorhome. And, you know, they went in there, and whatever happened in the motorhome happened in the motorhome. And, you know, that was like their bonding moment through, you know, through wrestling. So I think a lot of other teams, you know Scotty. You know him by his hair. You know, he's still hanging on to that haircut from, I don't even know what you call it. It's kind of a mohawk or a mullet. It's kind of not. It's, but he's hanging on to it strong. Gets pissed every time my sister tries to cut it shorter. But, you know, most people, if they don't know Scotty, it's like the guy who wears the St. Mary's wrestling stuff with the long hair. And then
that, that's him.
Yes, that I know him. But
you know,
yeah,
if you've met him or not. That's my dad's description. He's like, have you met Scotty Blanton? And they're like, I don't know. Like, no, yeah, you would know if, yeah, you met Scotty Blanton or not.
Yeah,
it's definitive.
Him, you know, and it's just, you don't get that image out of your head ever. So it's, you know, a one-time thing. So,
oh, man. Yeah, I could go on with stories with the, I think they fit like 60 people one year at State. You know, from the Holiday Inn to the shot, they fit like 60.
To the shot.
Yeah, and my dad has video of it, of everyone getting out of the thing. So they just carpooled in that. And I remember one time where Jeff was driving us home from after a football game, and it lost a tire. You're probably in it when it happened.
Yeah, I was in it.
And it what drove up into the high miler with one wheel.
Yeah, the tire just went flying past the motorhome, and we were on.
But Jeff was driving, and we did one like, is that? That's the motorhome with one wheel. And oh, my God, that thing was a beaut. So it had its final leg. We were going. I was in eighth grade. I don't know if Jeff was going or not, but you were probably there. It broke down in your driveway, and so we ended up getting one of my dad's box truck. We piled in the box truck and headed to St. Louis in a box truck. I think like 12 people in this little box truck. But
yeah, one air conditioner.
Yeah, yeah. We had like a little 9-inch VCR TV combo. I forget what we watched in the way. I'm sure Corey remembers, but – yeah, man, that camper, man, if that thing could talk. We took it to, like, every junior high. Like,
oh,
that,
yeah,
was our
was the
school bus.
Bus.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't think you can do that anymore, like, legally.
No
but,
way.
Yeah, but I don't know. It just flew, you know, and that was
some memories, man.
Never that, even questioned it. It was like, oh, Scotty's taking him okay.
Yeah, and now he has his own RV, right? And my dad has his own. And
he actually stepped it up. We helped him find. We got rid of his older one and said, Dad, it's about time to get one that, you know, is a little nicer. And
he still brings it to the wrestling tournaments.
Still brings it to the wrestling tournaments when he can. Yeah. And, yeah, he goes out camping all the time in it. And
man, that's pretty cool. No, it's some pretty crazy off-air Scotty stories. So,
yeah.
We can – anything else you have? Anything else that we didn't touch on? I know we talked a lot off air, but anything, we talked a lot of different, you know, subjects here, but anything else you had, anything you could think of?
One in the wrestling world, my brother had to wrestle Anthony Ralph.
Oh, yeah.
State.
Twice, didn't he?
Yeah.
Was it twice?
He won it both years in Just Wait. I think his senior year he had to wrestle him. And I remember just getting, like, upset every time Jeff lost. But, like, my mom had to, like, sit me down physically before this match. This was back in Dayton still at the Nutter Center. And she's like, all right, now listen, Jeff's not going to win this match. Like,
oh, really?
The only chance he has, and it was like the only chance he has is to throw him because this kid's a stud. And I think Jeff tried to throw him, and he got his feet went over his head. And, yeah, I think it was like a 30-second match. Anthony Ralph, I mean, I don't think he made it to the second period in any match that year. But that's just a funny, you know, a wrestling guy that most people will know. Yeah, my brother had to wrestle Anthony Ralph.
Did he wrestle him his senior year and wasn't back-to-back? Do you remember? I'm horrible with
memories. He wrestled him as
– he wrestled him twice at State, I believe, right?
He wrestled the semifinals against a kid. Ralph wrestled in the finals.
Okay.
A kid from a green team. I don't know.
Partlow? Was it
like
Jacob Partlow, was it?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm bad with names.
So my brother was third his junior year, and then he ended up fifth his senior year.
Do you think third as a sophomore?
No, as a junior.
Okay.
Third and fifth.
Okay.
Sophomore year, he was two in Skidoo.
Okay. And freshman year, he didn't go, right? Was he an alternate? Was he an alternate?
I don't know. Not
a district qualifier?
I know my dad was 32-0, went to state, was projected state champ. And
76, right? 1976.
I don't know if he was projected state champ. I don't know if they did that back then. He'll tell you he was.
I bet they did. I bet we could look it up.
He lost by a point, and that was when you had to get carried
through.
Follow
your man.
And his guy didn't win, and he ended up, you know, he didn't, you know, only eight went, and he didn't end up. So I think he ended up 32-1 that year. And
32-1 and not even a state placer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so your dad was tougher and tougher nails,
like,
right? They had good football teams, too, right?
He has huge calves, huge, like, bicep. Like,
half a bicep, or it was a split bicep now, right?
call it a garage door. I mean, it just split his bicep in half and never got it fixed or anything. It's just half a bicep now. It's pretty crazy. He takes care of all his medical issues himself. But now he thinks I'm a doctor. Like, he thinks, like, I can do surgery. Like, I'm like, I can't. He's like, well, you have a doctor. Well, what the hell did you go to school for all those years if you can't do a surgery on me? So one of these days I'm just going to pull out a scalpel and just start cutting him up or something. I don't know. I'll be like,
cut his hair.
Now? You like that? It's not as pleasant as you thought it would be, is it?
Sew it up with a chip clip.
Yeah.
Well, that's another story.
Yeah, that was the one everyone said. Like, that's the story I remember the most.
We'll let him tell it. He tells it best.
Yeah, he can probably tell it. Then just, you know, in general, talking family. Like I said, my family, you know, I followed my brother. I wanted to be, you know, everyone, how good Jeff was.
What sports, is there a specific sport moment that you remember of his growing up or anything?
Well, I remember, like, all of his, we went to all of
every sporting event. You didn't miss any, right?
Baseball, you know, it's funny. You don't really remember much about baseball. Like, I remember going to his games, but I remember.
Just doesn't have the following of football and wrestling, right? Especially for back then, for St. Mary. Yeah. It's a little different, right?
Yeah, so, you know, but wrestling, you know, some big match. I remember he wrestled William Conway one way.
Oh, the Panther Classic.
The Spladle and Panther.
The Spladle, yes, I remember that.
An interesting match. Yeah. Football-wise, you know, I was a ball boy, water boy with your brothers, and so I kind of grew up through that. So I always remember, you know, watching him. I remember, like, Tim Anderson tackling him.
Yes.
Chad Long from, you know, and, like.
Chad Long. So Zeb and I just went out to Cincinnati. We took Brody Conley, stud from Columbia. And we were trying to explain Chad Long to this, you know. Because he knew Chad was his coach. You know, he coached him. But, you know, he never got to see him play football or wrestle. He was a beast, right?
A beast. And Tim Anderson, like, 6'8", like, played for the Bill, like, played in the NFL.
Right.
You know, Margretta was like state semifinals. Clyde won state. Edison was really good. You know, they were just a lot of good teams. But I remember him just getting crushed a few times. Like,
yeah, he had a bunch of injuries. I mean, he was a quarterback, right? So he had some bad luck with injuries.
Yeah,
and I remember he had a stick shift. I think he like hurt his right ankle and he ended up like driving with his left foot or something. I forget. Right, he had the Geo Tracker.
Yeah, Geo Tracker. We talked about that the other day. Saw one with the Geo Tracker. I was like, there's your old Geo Tracker.
You saw one?
No, mine was black and with an orange accent. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's, you know, so just, you know, the family aspect was good. My mom, like I said earlier, my mom went to everything. So
right.
She never was like my rock. You know, she missed one baseball game in my college career. I broke my leg. Fouled the ball off my leg, broke it. She was in Ball State. She never missed another one. You know, the day her mom died, she made it up to my game. And
oh, wow.
So she, you know, she took me everywhere in high school to different baseball events. And so she was, you know, a big influence, you know, Coach Heemstra, you know, coaching wise, you know, just good influences. He always pushed me, Coach Roth, you know, pushed me. So, you know, I just had, you know, good coaches in high school. And that's, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to be as a coach too, was just a mentor to those kids. So, but, you know, in terms of family, just growing up in an athletic background and, you know, those are, you know, some of the things you remember. And like I said, you know, you think back and you remember all the wrestling story. You know, there's so many wrestling stories and you just remember all those. And, you know, I feel like I remember more about wrestling than anything else. So that's
right. No, definitely. I just feel like there's more downtime, right? In wrestling. So there's, you know, the camper trips, right? But in football, right, you're not.
Yeah, you go to the game and you're there for 3 hours and it's over. And that's for the week.
Right.
Wrestling, it's like Friday, Saturday, and then, you know, a bitty tournament on Sunday. And then practice. But
and more hotel game, stays, too, right? For us.
Hotel stays. Stay in the RV when there's a fire drill because there's a fire in the hotel or happened a few times. So, you know, just good times. I remember my dad drove back from the Silverdome Nationals with no brakes the 1 year.
Wasn't there a turnpike story? I wasn't there, but didn't they get off the turnpike?
We had to drive through the off ramp. We went down a hill. We were going to the Toledo Central Catholic Tournament, and I remember us calling, like, one of the Nolfos, like, hey, we're not going to make weight. He's like, just let me know your weight you guys are in if you can get here. And we literally showed up, like, 5 minutes before, but, yeah, there was a real bad accident. So we went off the exit ramp, like, four-wheeled it. I don't know how it made it. And then some farmer, like, led us through the exit of the
emergency exit.
Yeah,
or something,
like,
right?
How do you like?
Didn't they frame the ticket or something?
Yeah, the ticket was framed in the RV. Yeah, he still has that. I think in his basement. It's pretty funny.
Oh yeah, his basement, man. That's a cool
classic.
That's a classic.
Yeah.
Bar slash
basement room. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
That we could talk about that for hours, I'm sure, right. too. But no, but thanks, man. I just, you know, wanted to hear some of the stories from you. You know, like I said, I grew up, you know, more with your brother, but I know you had some awesome life and sports stories. And I promised you, you know, months and months ago to have you first on. And, you know, sorry, you got to look at my chair like this, but
it's a good sight. Yeah, so. Figure it out for the next person to come on here. But no, it's fun. I could talk sports forever. So it's cool. Probably look back at this and be like, man, I should have said this and this, but
that's how it usually works. That gives us reason to record again, you know?
Yeah, but no, it's, you know, I love listening to the things you talk about, the people you have on. It's pretty cool. Some of the guys you get on, it's pretty amazing. Like, you know, just had the Olympic champ on, you know, 4-time national champ. And, you know, it's pretty cool having, you know, people, you know, so many people that they want to be on the show. So that's awesome.
I know it's been fun. And then, like I said, having you first in studio is something special to me, you know, growing up together. So,
yeah.
Well, thanks for your time tonight, TJ. Oh, yeah. I appreciate it. We'll have to have you back on.
No problem.